everyone, welcome back to this week's episode of the Support Ops Hangout. I'm your host, Chase Clemens. This is a weekly podcast that's all about helping you deliver a better support experience to your customers. So we talk about things like customer service, customer support, basically anything customer-oriented. We're going to cover it on the show. Today's topic is really exciting, but before we dive into it, let's go ahead and meet all of our awesome support pros going on. So, Carolyn, how are things out in Buffer World?
They're great. My parents were visiting this weekend from New York. So.
Aw, that's exciting.
Yeah, it was really fun.
And then Jeff from Wistia, how are you this week?
Bonjour. I'm good. Thank you, Chase. I'm excellent.
Bonjour. Are we bringing in like more class and everything since Jeff isn't on the show like last week? I mean, Phil isn't on the show like last week.
Yeah, exactly. I'm missing that multicultural flavor that a Canadian
And then our special guest this week, filling in for Chase Livingston, is Crystal Schuler. Crystal, tell us a little bit about yourself and how are you?
Hey, guys. I'm great. I'm the Director of Customer Happiness over here at Review Trackers in Chicago. And I've been here about 8 months now and just having a really great time creating a whole support system and team with this new startup. So exciting.
Awesome. It's one of those, I first met Crystal back at UserConf, and it was one of those where whenever I had a spot come up, and I was like, Crystal, we've got to get her on the show. So we're glad you're here. For today's topic, we're talking about how you go about having a career as a support pro, a happiness hero, a customer champion, whatever title you know your team works with. Basically, we want to look at, is customer support just just another job, just something to hold you over until you really get your career going? Or can you actually have a career in customer service and customer support? Can you, you know, start in a job like we have in the last couple of years and still be doing that job in the next 10, 15, 20, you know, up until you're retired kind of thing? So we're going to start with Carolyn on this one. Carolyn, do you think we can, do you think you can have a career as a customer support agent?
Yeah. gosh, I hope so.
If not, we are all in the wrong boat.
Yeah. If not, I better start thinking of a plan B. But yeah, I think so. I kind of think that this may be oversimplifying it a bit. But for me, like, people are people, and that doesn't change. And so the skills that you learn in customer service, I think, can be transferred really well to other areas. The listening that you learn and sort of translating technology into normal speak, a lot of these things can be really well used in other areas like sales or something like that. But, there's a lot of careers out there that maybe seem like they're just temporary, but not if you love it and not if you're good at it and not if you believe in the company that you're doing it for. So, yeah.
Crystal, what do you think? Is it something that, are you going to be with Review Trackers or a company like them in 10 years as this, head of customer support kind of role?
I say yes all the way. I think this is a little bit of a loaded question for me, but I went from 8 years in traditional marketing, communications, PR into the digital community management space. And then I just realized I was tired of constantly acquiring new customers with campaigns and gimmicks and things like that. And I wanted to focus on building the relationship. And I took my relationship skills and my listening skills, like Carolyn mentioned, and troubleshooting from event planning and things like that, and just realized that all of this could go into support and into this passion I sort of figured out. And I luckily got to learn from one of the best, Sarah Hatter at CoSupport. She picked me up when I got laid off from a startup a year ago and let me learn from her and work with some clients. And I just realized if you're an empathetic person, if you're a natural troubleshooter, if you just love problem solving, if you have friends who you're constantly the one where you're like, okay, this is your problem, let's figure out how to fix it, and just not constantly dwell on what's wrong. And I think that is really important. And if you're someone who loves relationship building and you're someone who just loves people, humanizing things. I think that customer support is definitely a career you can have, and I see that it's just going to constantly grow as much, you know, because businesses are constantly looking for ways to set them apart from other companies. And if you're someone who focuses on listening to what your customers say, then that's a company that's going to transcend upon other competitors, I guess you could say. So,
so Jeff, what do you think? Do you agree with these two wonderful ladies?
Absolutely, I agree.
You'd be stupid not to, right?
I would be an idiot. I would be an idiot not to agree. I think this is a really, really tough question. And I feel like all of us are sort of guessing at the answer, right? Because none of us have had a really long, fulfilling career in this and can look back on the decisions we've made. But I guess I feel like the only caveat I would have for something like that is support is a real grind, for sure. And we want to make it seem super great and we want everyone to get into it, but you have to know whenever I'm interviewing somebody who's new to support, I let them know that it's definitely a grind. And I think that the only way that you'd be able to make a career, like a legit career out of doing that and only that, if we want to scope the question that way, would be if you wanted to, if you decided to work in a place where the, I guess approaching it from the company's perspective, could a small company do all of their support through a single workforce support person? No. Could you go and be the single support person for one company for the rest of your career? I don't think so. I think I'd be really, really impressed. Could you decide that that is exactly what you want to do at a company, maybe like WordPress or even Basecamp, where they have the ability to let people go on vacation and take time off and have summer Fridays and basically make it part of your, like, a normal routine for your career? Absolutely. But I do think that acknowledging that it's a grind and that in some, there are certainly some companies where their perspective is 2 years is the max. I've heard that from folks. I wish that that was not at all true. And we're a very small sample size, but I've got folks on our team that are still happily, you know, grinding it out after 2 years, but it's a grind. 2 years versus 25 years, like, big, big difference.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing. You know, I've been doing this for 3 years now. So basically the last 3 years of my life, you come to work, you answer email cases all day and help customers out. And, you know, you might work on some side projects and that kind of thing. 3 years is one thing. 25 years, that it just feels a little different, you know, I don't know, Carolyn, Jeff brings up a good point with this grind. You know, you look at companies like Comcast or AT&T and things like that, where they just cycle through their call centers, right? They just cycle through reps hand over fist. What are you doing at Buffer to make sure that your team members have a career doing support for Buffer and not just kind of putting up with this grind kind of feeling?
That's a great one. Yeah, it's funny that you asked this, in fact, because just my parents are visiting, and my mom has this phrase about working in support, and she says, it's a burnout job. And she always says that to me, and I always fight back. And, you know, she's not wrong in that what she used to see me do, which was work all the time, you know, leave Thanksgiving dinner to go answer emails, work every weekend, come back from, you know, concerts at 11 o'clock at night and answer emails. Like, the life of you are one of two or three support people and, you know, you're getting hundreds of emails and it's, you know, you don't feel like you can go to sleep without checking HipChat and making sure that, you know, somebody else is there. And, you know, that is a burnout job. And I remember doing that for only a few months and being really exhausted. And so, you know, what we basically did was hire, and that has really changed the game for us. You know, now people take a whole weekend off and they take vacation and things like that. And that has completely changed it. You know, now it's a team of nine as opposed to a team of two or three. And that's really different. And I often acknowledge that not every company has that luxury. So like to Jeff's point, if you're working for a company that doesn't have intentions to make that less of a burnout job in mind, then it's a burnout job. But when you have someone who's like really listening to you, and I think Joel is a good example of that, my CEO, you know, said like, okay, well, if you're not feeling like really excited and happy and you're not feeling like rested, and you know, you've got this like kind of sigh on Monday morning, then that's the wrong thing. And so let's give you some support. No pun intended. So yeah, I think, you know, aside from just being really in tune with your people and asking them questions and asking them how they're doing, and providing the support, you know, you can do other things. Like we talked about this a while back. Sometimes people don't necessarily want breaks. You know, maybe they want to progress through the, you know, they want leadership or they want to learn a skill or other things. So I think just really listening to people and meeting them where they are and giving them the reward that they need, whether that's money or recognition or leadership or, you know, the opportunity to learn how to code in this, in your spare time or whatever it is. I know Wistia, I think, really encourages people to learn how to do that sort of thing. And so that's a really incredible opportunity. So, you know, that's the kind of thing where you could, you know, if you do need a break from the minute to minute, then it helps, but also on the grander scale, you're sort of advancing your life as a person, as opposed to just, you know, this year and this day and this month looking exactly the same as the last year, day and month. So, yeah, I think progress is probably the second most obvious thing aside from just plain old more hands to help with volume. Sort of
more support getting, for support.
Yeah, aside from that, which is kind of obvious, then sort of giving people a chance to, you know, some of my team wants to work all the time and progress really fast through leadership, and some of them want to get off at 5 o'clock and spend the whole evening with their families, and that's how it works, and that's what they get. So I think, I mean, again, I don't know if I'm an authority on it because none of my people have been with us more than 2 years. But that seems to be working for us so far.
Yeah, you brought up a good example here with Jeff and the Wistia team. You know, Wistia encourages everyone to pick up side skills like coding or things like that. Jeff, how much of an impact has that had on keeping people kind of career focused inside Wistia rather than just Wistia being a stopping place onto something else?
Uh-oh, Jeff's rolling his eyes.
I wish that had anything to do with it. Or I guess I wish I'd had the forethought to think that had anything to do with it. So I guess my two thoughts on this point is one, part of our responsibility as like, I don't know what the word is, managers or mentors or organizers of people is to understand that for some of them, this is just a stop on what I hope is like a really successful career trajectory, and others are going to stay with us and have a really successful career trajectory. But the one, regardless, you know, my hope is that Wistia leaves them better than when they came in. In terms of like the learning additional skills, that's really only aimed at solving problems for the company, right? The way we come at that whole question is that the people who are feeling the pain most acutely should be the ones who are outfitted with the skills to solve it. So if the support folks are saying like, this problem's really annoying and no one will help me fix this, then there is no better feeling than helping them get the skills to solve that problem. In terms of it holding on to people, I guess it has that side benefit. I guess I could spin artist this and say like, well, you know, we get to give them more challenging work, and therefore, like, I had, you know, this amazing pre-thought in encouraging new skills in people because they get more challenging work, therefore they stay longer. I just could never ask someone to take a job where they're going to feel the pain on something and they can't possibly solve it. So, you know, while there are probably always going to be problems that are outside the realm of what one of the support folks at Wistia could take time away to solve, it's wonderful to think about them walking over to a dedicated engineer and say, like, here's where I think the problem is. Here's what, like, my recommended solution would be. Like, sorry that I don't have 8 hours to test it, but, like, I think we should, you know, dive in and do this. And them saying, like, oh, cool, that's really neat that you put that kind of time into helping me solve this problem. That's as far as I got on that one. I haven't had any examples of a time when somebody probably would have left, but they stayed just for that. But I do think that if they were to leave, they'd be able to take any position that they want. That's a pretty great feeling.
Yeah, I love, you know, you mentioned earlier how Wistia is all about making sure that they leave better than when they came in. And that's a really powerful mindset when you're talking about your team members, making sure that, you know, that they're gaining some skills, whether it be, you know, support related or tech related or life related. I mean, that's kind of like buffer teaching us all how to be more productive and efficient and happy and everything else. Just making sure that you're better when you leave than when you came, when you come in. So Crystal, you know, we were talking a little bit before the show about how it's just you right now, and, you know, hopefully you're going to be hiring on and that kind of thing. Have you thought any about how you would, you know, pitch coming to work at Review Trackers as a career rather than just a, you know, like, here, have a computer and answer some cases, you code monkey kind of thing?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's really important to note that, especially in the growing industry of tech and startups, that any position is going to be a burnout position, you know, whether it's sales, whether it's a CEO, whether it's finance, like everyone is in hustle mode completely. And so it's really about looking at those like core things that makes a person happy and what they want to see themselves, and a good manager identifying those and then seeing what they want their trajectory path to be, whether it's learning project management skills or, like you said, learning how to code, or if they really do just love people and want to continue into potentially becoming another senior support director position, you know. And I've been following a lot of what you guys have said before about automate where you can and be insanely human where you can. I think that's like a phenomenal quote. And so we're trying to put into a position now where, and we're B2B, so I know a lot of you guys are B2C a lot of times. So, but B2B, it's different. You don't have as much hustle, I think, as you do with B2C. You don't have just thousands of support emails, at least not right now. So I'm lucky that I'm able to sort of build this path to hopefully make it where it's a lot more automated for when I bring people on. And I'm already scoping out our sales team on who I'd love to like bring over into the support team. I'm like, you're an amazing human being. And I think that doing support really makes you learn how to be a better human being all around. And I tease all the time about like how I would love to just pull these people from the sales team. And a lot of times you don't see that, but I think that that's what I'm most excited about, is the ability to like sort of build a structure that enables me to, you know, show people, hey, you will have the days where like on Mondays when you walk in and your inbox is completely slammed, all your cases are just, you're not going to be able to touch your to-do list, but at the same time, tomorrow you're going to get to work on potentially a cool strategy product for a new feature we're rolling out, or, you know, talk with the product development team or whatever. So again, I think it goes back to any position, no matter what you're doing, whether it's support or sales or marketing or CEO, finance, you're going to have, you just need to find out what their goal is. And if, you know, identifying what makes them want to move in the direction they, what makes them happy is going
to
be key. So
yeah, and you know, one of the things, so first off, we got to give Jeff credit for that automate where you can quote, because it's just him somewhere. You know, I don't think we've ever figured out exactly where he said it, but it's him somewhere.
Yeah, I remember it from a talk.
So Carolyn, do you think as we automate more things that we as support pros have anything to be worried about? Like, should we be worried about this proverbial, like, you know, IBM's Watson or something coming in and just doing our job?
That's an interesting one. I mean, I'm not really very worried about that at the moment. that's something that I lose sleep over. It's a big question on whether that would be a good thing or not.
See, you gotta watch out for my questions. Sometimes they're just out of left field and just
yeah, so right there. I kind of think that would be great. I don't think we'll ever lose the need for humans. And kind of, in fact, to tie into the last question, you know, we talked, Crystal just mentioned, you know, stealing people for the support team. But I think what's also really fascinating is, you know, people moving from the support team into other areas of the company. And so, you know, if maybe someday, you know, you don't have the need for as big of a support team, if so, good on you. That's good progress. Then, you know, you know, people who've had those skills and who talk to customers directly and who feel that pain and who think through that lens, moving into other areas of the company is only a good thing for the whole company, I think.
Yeah, sure.
So yeah, even if you're not necessarily moving out of support, I mean, even if you are moving out of support, you can sometimes still have a huge impact having had that experience and having had those skills by moving on to the sales team or the product team or, you know, in an engineering role. You can sort of improve communication inside the team or improve user research before features are developed or whatever, because you know what that feels like as somebody who talks to customers, you know what that feels like as a customer. So yeah, I wasn't particularly worried about Watson, but if that were to ever be the case, I'm thinking back to like Liza, is it the like computer-based psychiatrist or something that always just like asks you questions back? This was like from a lot of years ago now. Does anyone know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I got nothing.
Okay, well, I have to Google Eliza because that was a very interesting program to play with as a child. Yeah, I don't think we'll ever lose the need for people, but even if for whatever reason the support team no longer has the same needs, you know, if you pivot and you are no longer B2C, you're B2B now, or you have bigger, fewer customers, or whatever that looks like, those skills in that role can still have a huge impact inside the company, other places. So that's a really useful way to keep those skills and that learning inside the company.
You know how Olark, they and many other companies push all hands-on support. And I think like that's showing how important support is because you see so much when you do it. So when they, you know, when they say all hands-on support, they're enabling everyone within their company to see that. So I think absolutely someone going from support into another position is completely better for the company, so much better for the company.
Yeah, and you've got companies like Automattic who, you know, you're required to do a stand-in support whenever you start for any job, developer, designer, programmer, anything else. Like you start with a rotation through the support team just to get that basis down. Jeff, you know, final question over to you. Do you think, you know, we talk about having careers as support pros, but you also look at like careers inside of a company, like careers inside of Wistia. So do you think it's more important to focus on an employee's career in their field, you know, like being a support pro, or do you think it's more important to focus on, you know, what their career is doing inside of Wistia, you know, growing from support into design, for instance, or are those two mutually compatible?
That's a good question. I hope that those two are mutually compatible. I guess I tend to think about it more about the individual person. So a lot of my one-on-ones are spent talking about, you know, what are you interested in and what's some of the latest work that you've done on your projects? What are some of the bottlenecks you're hitting on those projects, which tend to be for anyone in support, the bottleneck almost 100% of the time is I haven't had the time to do this. But the other, you know, whatever 2% of the time it might be, I don't have the skills, the requisite skills to make progress on this, in which case that's a solvable problem, right? So I, you know, look for resources to help people learn new technologies or maybe buy them books or whatever, subscribe to some sort of premium content that they might be able to use, something like that, to get them skills. The time problem, I guess, we solve for the most part through probably the hiring or automating method, just removing the amount of work that they specifically have to shoulder. But anyway, a lot of time is spent just understanding what it is that they find really interesting, what really makes them passionate, because I think over time they start to pull on that thread, or the more ambitious people will start to pull on that thread and sort of work it up the chain so that they go from, maybe they start out in, they just want to do, strictly transactional support, and then they start thinking like, well, I could write the documentation too. Like, I have some good thoughts on, how we could communicate this. They start doing that. At Wistia, maybe they start writing scripts or something to better educate customers who want to learn via video. Maybe they go from there to like dabbling in some of the product stuff because they, have discovered that a lot of the more confusing things could be solved easily. Maybe they discover solutions I've yet to find. But anyway, I think that if you ask the individual where they want to go, they'll tell you. And most people won't say to another company. They want to enact change where they are. So I think you just listen to them, and that's sort of how I think about it.
All right. Closing thoughts from any of you before we put this one in the books?
Oh, can I say one thing? It's not.
No, you've already missed. Sorry.
I don't want to do this as my shout out, but Reid Hoffman just wrote a book. How folks find time to write books? I don't know how you did it. While I'm looking it up, I just wanted to ask that. What is the name of this book? It's his new book, and it's all about, it's called The Alliance, and it's all about this. This can add a link to The Alliance in the show notes for people who look at show notes. I don't know what you're doing, but you're looking at show notes. And it's all about, they take the concept of a tour of duty that an employee takes with the company. And sometimes people sign up for multiple tours of duty. Sometimes they might only do one. It's kind of a rough metaphor. I'm not really into military metaphors, but that's the one they choose. I think it's super related. I haven't read it, so I can't give it a shout out, but I just thought it was related.
And yes, I will put that link in the show notes for 99% of the people that read those.
Oh, no, it'll be there for 100% of the people who read show notes.
Well, yeah,
but for 99% of the people who don't look at show notes, just look up The Alliance, Reid Hoffman's book, The Alliance.
Oh, awesome. So let us know what you think. Did we get it right? Did we get it wrong? Can you have a career in customer support? Head over to supportops.co/question and let us know what you think. If you don't want to go to that URL, there's a link in the show notes because show notes are useful. Mm-hmm. So just so you know, that brings us to the best part of the week for all of us. It's this week's shout outs. These are the things that are making us happy. So happy that we want to shout them from the rooftops, from the mountaintops, and let you know, hey, you should check these things out. So we'll start with Carolyn. Carolyn, what's your shout out for this week?
So this one's, everybody's heard of it already, but I'm going to shout out for Uber. And the reason is because my elderly parents recently discovered the merits of not necessarily taking cabs or renting a car. And I will admit they are rather technical for their generation. My mom has a jawbone up. My dad's just generally very up on technology. But I think it was kind of amazing to watch them latch on so completely to the concept. I thought that Uber did a really, really simple. And my dad kept asking for features in the app. You know, I want to see old, previous payments. I want to see the route that he took. I want to see, he like was asking for more. And I thought that it must be a huge exercise in restraint for them because there's probably 1,000 features that they could add and they've chosen not to. And therefore my parents were able to be like, oh, what? They went from not knowing that this thing existed to taking it like 5 times while they were here. And they loved it. And they were like wanting to learn all about the industry and asking tons of questions to every Uber driver about like why they like it better than Lyft and like all these questions. So I just thought that that was a great reminder for me, because usually people ask for things and what I think of is the problem that it's going to solve. You know, when I think of the buffer feature, but I often forget about how much more complicated it's going to make the app and how much harder it's going to be to support the settings column in general if you add another thing. So I'm just going to shout them out as design well done.
Jeff, what are you shouting out this week?
So I won't try to put on a Chase accent. This is Chase Livingston, but okay. I will play the part of Chase Livingston and tell y'all about a little gadget that I've gotten into, or actually just discovered. I haven't gotten it yet, but I think it's pretty cute. It's called the Polaroid Cube. Polaroid is back, and they're trying to put out a little GoPro competitor, and it's really cute. I guarantee Carolyn will have one sitting on her shoulder in like 2 weeks' time. But it shoots HD video, and it has the whole like sticky to everything as part of its design. It's got like a magnet built in, and it comes with a bunch of mounts. So if you've been wanting to get into the GoPro game, but it seems too intense, you might find the, I think it's like $100 for a Polaroid Cube. You might find that way more attractive.
Awesome. And then Crystal, not to spring it on you, I hope you've got one. If you don't, that's cool. But have you got something you want to shout out this week?
I was trying to think about it, and I would say that Wunderlist, I've been using them for a little over a year now, and they released some new features recently that I thought were really cool. And I'm sort of OCD about being organized, and although I do use Basecamp every single day, I love my personal Wunderlist and integrating it with Basecamp. So it's awesome, and I try all the new ones that come out, but I always end up reverting back to Wunderlist. So I don't know if y'all have used that one before, but
I love when we have guests on this show, because you know they're always like, "Oh, Basecamp's awesome, Wistia's awesome, Buffer's the greatest thing ever." It's just fun. For this week, for my shout out, I'm giving it to a friend of mine that has started a side business called Made South, madesouth.com. Carolyn, since you're a Southern transplant, you would probably be really interested in this one, since you're going to go out and buy the Polaroid Cube evidently anyway. Made South is a quarterly package company. So once a quarter, they send you a box, a surprise box. You have no idea what's coming. And in it is Southern products from Southern makers. So, you know, last time we got really cool things like a candle and some cooking blends, cooking spices, that kind of thing. It's just really, it's really well done. The branding's awesome. The execution is awesome. So definitely check them out. It's madesouth.com. I'll have that URL and all the other ones in the show notes for all of you wonderful folks that read the show notes. I'm not going to let you forget that, Jeff. Crystal, thanks again for being on the show. It's been great having you.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you so much.
Yeah, make sure to check her out. We'll have her Twitter links and all that in the show notes as well. You know, if you get a chance, open up iTunes, leave us a review, let us know how we're doing. If you like the show, if you don't, if you want changes or anything like that, just let us know. Other than that, I'm Chase. We'll see you again next week.